Welcome to the Westview Church Podcast. Our vision at Westview is creating space for self and community to find rest in Christ. And we're thankful that today you've created space in your day to study God's Word together with us. If you'd like more information about Westview Church, find us on the web at www.westview.org. You know, I'm curious if any of us are feeling some of the same things I'm feeling right now in this moment. We have the stillness of this night. You know, I love when businesses close early and the traffic on the road has lessened. We watch around us the flicker of flames that helps illuminate the darkness here. We sing our voices together, joining as one as we sing that familiar refrain, "O Night Divine." We've got those presents carefully wrapped, tucked away still, yes, under the Christmas tree. Maybe some of us, potatoes already soaking, ready to be mashed tomorrow. Miles have been driven. Hugs have been delivered in the doorway. And in this very moment, we settle before God's Word. We sit down into our chairs. And do you know what I'm feeling in this moment? One big, gigantic phew. Because we made it. I'm not sure when this whole season decided to jump the shark and has turned what is supposed to be the most wonderful time of the year into the most expensive and hectic and busy time of the year, yes? I mean, it probably has been going on for a few years now, maybe even been going on for maybe a couple of decades. Maybe this was always just a one-way trip towards what we're experiencing right now, and I feel it. And I feel it maybe more than ever as I'm getting older and older. I don't know, maybe that's not true, but I, as much as and as hard as I try to push against it and hold off that feeling, it feels so unpreventable. It sort of feels like both feet are sunk in knee deep into quicksand. It feels inevitable, yes? And so forgive me tonight. On this Christmas Eve, forgive me if I just take a pause just for this moment to breathe this in. To sit in the soothing stillness of silent night. To cherish a moment when all is calm and all is bright. To relish that right now, there is no other place to be. There is no other task to accomplish. There's no other errand to run. There's nothing else to cross off the to-do list because it's Christmas Eve and we are here and everything else is cast aside for these few holy moments so that we might reflect together on the heart of Christmas. Throughout the season here at Westview, we have sought to swim against the craziness stream that is this season. We wanted to hone in on what Christmas is all about. We have journeyed alongside our Advent wreath, reflecting upon each theme of the candles. And so a couple of weeks ago, we rested in the fact that the heart of Christmas is hope for us, that there is a light that shines in the darkness, and that darkness cannot overcome it. We've named that the heart of Christmas is a peace between us, that the Son who is born this night is one who makes us right in relationship with God and with each other. A couple weeks ago, we celebrated that there, the heart of Christmas is a joy within us, that in God's great mercy, He's given to us the gift of salvation that fills us with an inexpressible and glorious joy. And just this morning, we reflected on the fact that the heart of Christmas is love upon us, that in love, because of love, God has chosen us to be His beloved now and always. And tonight on this Christmas Eve, in the calm of this moment, we are going to focus together on the heart of Christmas. Period. The heart of Christmas. Because really, this is the heart of the gospel. Because really, this is the heart of all things. Really, this is the heart of the matter. And it's all summarized really in one verse of Scripture. Just one verse of Scripture. Sometimes this verse is called everybody's verse. Sometimes this verse has been called the gospel in a nutshell. Sometimes this verse is named that the entire gospel comes into focus in this one verse, and that verse is John 3:16. Listen to it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's it. That is the heart of our hope. That is the heart of our peace, the heart of our joy, the heart of our love. This is the heart of Christmas. Now, I think the reality, at least for me this evening, my guess would be for you as well, is that even as we attempt to sit still in our seats just for a moment, our minds are still moving and our hearts are still full, that our hearts and minds are crammed full with all the things that have been going on, things of the past week, of this past season, things that are to come, maybe even yet tonight, or the joy of what's going to happen early tomorrow morning when the kids get us up, or the events of this next week. Our hearts and our minds are still very full, even in this moment. And so my intention right now, my intention this evening is to keep things simple. My hope is that we walk out of here tonight understanding what the heart of Christmas is all about. And to do that, you and I will only need to remember 8 words. 6 really, but it's going to feel like 8. Okay? First 2 words are this. God loves. For God so loved the world. The word here for love is an action word. It's not a feeling. It's not an emotion. It's a cognitive choice that leads to an incredible action. The choice is this. God chooses to love the world. God chooses to love the world. Another way of saying that is that God chooses to love you and me. God chooses to love you and me. Friends, I could say that all night long, and I'm willing to do that until each and every one of us here tonight, we not only hear those words, but we settle our hearts just for a moment, that we relax a little bit so that we not only hear those words, but that we believe those words. You see, our minds are so preoccupied. We carry the weight of the world upon our shoulders. We're full. Our minds are the weight of the world. We're preoccupied. We have all these things that are before us, and we begin to go so fast and so quick and so often and so heavy. We are weary. We're tired. We've got so much on our minds, and we begin to contort this crazy idea that we have to do something. We have to be something in order to be loved. I want to say the first part of John 3:16 again, and I need you to listen close with me. Tell me, are there any prerequisites? Are there any precursors? Are there any if-then clauses? For God so loved the world. Did you hear any? Friends, God loves you. I know we've met. I know you're Travis's dad. Can't remember your name, though. Joe. Joe, God loves you. God loves you. I know you. Mr. Rick, God loves you. Aaron, God loves you. Angie, God loves you. Mindy, God loves you. Friends, I will go up and down every single row tonight. And I will go up and down every single aisle. And if I don't know your name, I'll ask you your name. And I will say to you personally, face to face, with your name, this truth: God loves you. This love is where the heart of Christmas begins. The coming of Jesus and His subsequent life and teaching and example and His death and His resurrection are all because God loves you. He loves each one of us, you and me, no matter what our grades are in power school, no matter what number is on our paycheck, no matter how much pigment is in our skin, no matter if that addiction has reared its ugly head, no matter if your temper is a little shorter than most, no matter if it's been a long time since you entered into a church building, no matter the guilt that we maybe feel because of a lapse of judgment, no matter nothing, God loves you. And God so loves that He will go to the greatest extent to show you that love, a sacrificial love. So the first two words, God loves. Here's the second two words, God gives. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son. God's love for you is so great that He gives and gives and gives and gives of Himself to the point of deep sacrifice. God paid dearly because of His love for you and me. His great love has incurred for Him the highest of price tags, His one and only Son. I personally have not lost a child. The closest that I would say is we had a miscarriage before our firstborn. And some days when my mind can play some wicked tricks on me, I worry and wonder about what that loss must be like. And I know some of us here in this room know, and my heart grieves for you tonight. And it says here that He gave His one and only Son. Isn't that an incredible verb there? He gave. It says God has offered. God has held out His hands. He's opened up His hands and He said, here. God was not forced. He was not compelled. There's no twisted plot line here where God was forced and held hostage to offer His Son. It's nothing like that at all. God gave His one and only Son because He loves you and me. God's Son Jesus was given so that our relationship with God, which had been ruined, had been broken because of sin, so that that relationship can be restored, so that our sins may be forgiven, so that the price tag that is around our necks might be paid in full. God gave His Son so that the groanings of this world might be turned into sweet sounds of praise. God gave Jesus to provide the one way so that you and I have a restored relationship with Him. God loves. God gives. Here's the next two words. We believe. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him. What does it mean to believe? What does it mean to believe, particularly here in this verse? Because I'm not talking about, you know, I believe that mint Oreo is the most underrated flavor of ice cream. Anybody agree with that? I don't see any takers. It is. I believe that the only day we need snow is on Christmas Eve. Not getting it. I'm really glad all that's not snow. I don't even want to say this next one. I believe, especially after today, 4 interceptions. I still believe someday, it won't be this year, someday those Vikings will win a Super Bowl for me. I believe. Now, the believe that is here in this verse is nothing like those trivial matters, right? The concept of believe is, goes far beyond such things. In the words of one of the resources I looked at here, here's what it means to believe. To believe is to trust in Christ alone for salvation, to place our faith in the hands of Jesus. Here's what another resource said. To believe is to put our trust and confidence in Jesus Christ, that He alone can save us. And here's one more that I liked. To believe is to put Jesus Christ in charge of our present plans and eternal destiny. Do you like any of those? Maybe you have one of your own definitions of what it means to believe. But however you define it, there's no denying that this belief is the highest aim. It is the greatest goal of God's love and God's giving, that we would believe, that we would have faith, that we would put our trust in Jesus for our salvation, that we would place our life in His hands, that our confidence for our eternity would be in Jesus and in Him alone, that we would put Jesus in the director's seat of our life in this moment and for all of history. That's what it is to believe, and that is God's purpose in giving His Son Jesus. That is why we celebrate here at Christmas, that God gave His Son Jesus so that we would believe. It says that whoever would believe in Him. Tell me, who do you think whoever is referring to? Would whoever refer to that loudmouth politician on whatever side of the aisle? Could whoever refer to the prisoner who is currently residing on death row? Could the whoever refer to that bully that will not leave us alone at recess? Does whoever include the religious legalistic fanatic? Does whoever include baby boomers and Gen Xers and Gen Zers and, don't worry, I didn't forget about you millennials, you too, and now Gen Alpha? Does whoever include you? Because whoever means whoever. Whoever believes in Jesus, whoever puts their faith, puts their trust, puts their confidence, their future destiny in the hands of Jesus. Which leads us to the last two words. God loves, God gives, we believe, we live. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Friends, I'm just going to name a cold, hard truth for us tonight. Without Christ, we die. And I'm not just talking about the physical death that we will all experience on this earth. You know, there's going to come a day that this heart of mine is going to stop ticking, and these lungs of mine are going to stop heaving. But it's not that death, but eternal death, where we perish. It's worse than not nothing. It's worse than not just living. It's eternal destruction and torment. But whoever believes in the One whose birth we celebrate tonight, whoever believes in Jesus shall not perish, but have eternal life. Do you hear what that's saying? Eternal life. Life that is lived to the fullest, life that is abundant, life that is free, life that is full of glory, life that is lived in the grandeur of heaven in the presence of God forever, in the presence of God where there is perfection and peace, where there's shalom and satisfaction, where there's joy and jubilation, where there's worship and wonder, where there is every good thing and grand thing that you and I could ever hope for and need and ever imagine, and that's only scratching the surface. All of that will be ours for eternity forever. And friends, it's not just a gift for someday. That can be a reality today, right now. Listen again to the last phrase, shall have everlasting life. Shall have. The word there, have, it's the present tense, which means that this eternal life we're talking about is intended to be a present possession. It's not something that is going to be someday, some years from now. It's something that we can enjoy, that we can rest in right now, in this moment. The peace, the hope, the joy, the contentment, that overwhelming sense of deep satisfaction when you just go, oh. We can experience that even today. Because when we believe, we live. Eight words. God loves. God gives. We believe. We live. Friends, that is why we celebrate Christmas. That is why Jesus is coming into this world That's why it's such a big deal. This is why we hassle so. Because this is the heart of Christmas. God loves, God gives, we believe, we live. I'm not sure that I can make it any more simple or bare bones than that. That this is the heart of Christmas. That this is what Christmas is all about. This is why we worship. This is why we praise God. This is why we celebrate. This is why we going to go crazy all season long, because it all comes back to this. It all comes back to God's great gift of Jesus, the heart of Christmas. God loves. God gives. We believe. We live. And friends, if we walk out of here tonight with anything, may it be this. May it be this wonderfully simple message of Christmas, the heart of Christmas. May we have these 8 words imprinted upon us this Christmas. God loves, God gives, we believe, we live. Would you say that with me? God loves, God gives, we believe, we live. Say it again with me. God loves, God gives, we believe, we live. One more time, let me hear you. God loves, God gives, we believe, we live. This is the heart of Christmas. Amen. Friends, the beautiful thing tonight is that this heart of Christmas, these 8 words, they not only speak to us, come to us here from the Word, but also in this holy night, we celebrate together the sacrament of communion. And those 8 words show up there as well. And why would they not? Because they are the heart of Christmas, the heart of this story. God loves us so that He gave His Son, a Son who came and lived and died and rose again. And when we believe, we have communion with the same God and with one another. And as we share together this meal, we proclaim a hope that we live today and for all of eternity. God loves. God gives. We believe, we live. What a gift it is for us tonight to be able to celebrate this sacrament together on Christmas Eve. Before we do, would you please pray with me? God, we give you thanks. We worship you. We praise you. We celebrate your great gift for us this night. We thank you, God, that you, for who you are, we worship you and for all that you have done. Most of all, God, tonight we give you thanks for the gift of your Son, our Savior, the eternal Word who was made flesh, who came to dwell amongst us. We celebrate that tonight, His coming into this world, coming to give His life as a ransom for our sin, coming for the forgiveness of our sins, coming so that as He rose again from the dead, He would defeat death once and for all so that we can live. God, we give you thanks tonight for Jesus Christ. And as we come on this Christmas Eve around this table, we would pray that to us this bread would be His body broken for us. And this cup would be His blood that was shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins. And as your grace is poured out onto us through this sacrament, may it nourish us and strengthen us. May it give us indeed hope and peace and joy and love. As we partake of this sacrament, may we be filled with that wonderful assurance. The assurance of your love for us. The hope that is found in Jesus Christ. We pray all this in His name. Amen. Thank you for joining us for the Westview Church Podcast. We hope that you are blessed as we studied Scripture together today. We'd love to invite you to our worship service at Westview Church, which takes place at 9:30 on Sunday mornings. May God richly bless your day.